Welcome to the Leadership Caffeine Podcast, where your host, Art Petty, connects you with the people passionate about supporting your professional development and helping you raise the performance bar for yourself and your organization. From frontline leaders to CEOs to management authors, educators, and visionaries, Art is talking to people who are excited about sharing their big ideas and changing the world. Whether you are listening on the run, on the road, or at your desk, we're glad you're tuned in for this episode of the Leadership Caffeine Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Leadership Caffeine Podcast. Today's guest is Laura McLeod. Laura is the proprietor and founder of a business called From the Inside Out Project. It's a communications consultancy and coaching firm that helps organizations maintain a harmonious workplace. When I initially came across Laura's information and her business, she had me at Harmonious Workplace. I'm not sure about you, but I've been looking for one of those for most of my career. So I had a chance to catch up with Laura recently on a Skype interview. She shares a bit about her business, how it came about, her time as an aspiring actress, some of the work that she does, and some of the vexing communications challenges she deals with in the workplace. Laura was a great guest, has a fascinating approach to navigating some of these sticky communication challenges. Enjoy the interview. So, Laura McLeod, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Art. I'm thrilled to be here.
You're the creator, the proprietor of the From the Inside Out Project, an organization that assists in maintaining a harmonious workplace. I love those words, love the name. Tell us, what is it that you do? What do you do at From the Inside Out Project?
Well, thank you. The harmonious workplace. Yes, it's great. Well, essentially what I do and the way I help companies is I manage and help companies deal with communication. I guess that would be the broader umbrella, specifically with the hourly employees. The hourly employees in many companies are really neglected, I find, in many ways. And if we can increase communication, empower them, work with them in their relationships within the company, with managers, supervisors, executives, etc., it very much changes the culture in a positive way in a company, which then results in better profits, better visibility, all those types of things.
So yeah, you had me at the word harmonious. I think all of us are looking for that great harmonious workplace, and it has some really good, lofty ambitions in there, but maybe help dig a little bit deeper. What is it that you do to help smooth through the communications with the hourly employees and management?
I work specifically in small groups with employees. So, for example, I would work with the waiters and the bussers in a restaurant. I might work with receptionists or clerks, bank tellers, anyone who's in a group doing an hourly job. And the point here is, if, let's take the waiters and the bussers, for example, you've been working a long time in this restaurant as a waiter, you work with bussers, you work with cooks, you work with managers, etc., and there probably isn't great communication there. There may have been at one point, but over time, things tend to get lax. People, they need reinforcement. We all do. So there are issues there. There may be grudges. There may be disgruntled things. There may be bullying going on. All kinds of things can be going on within a group of people in any organization. And I dig at what those issues are, let's get them out, and let's sort them out. This does two things. Number one, it gets all of the bad blood, all of these ugly things up and out, and we sort them out. The second thing it does is it helps to empower the employees. So the long-term goal is we sort it out, and I model how we do that. We do it together so that the next time the employees are able to do it themselves. And this is incredibly helpful. It saves time. It saves energy. It builds a more positive attitude. So that's what I do.
That's fascinating. I can imagine so many circumstances where this is a problem. And by the way, I think I'm dating myself here. In my now 30 years of executive management experience and an awful lot of time writing blog posts and a couple of books, I've long concluded that this would really be easy if it weren't for the people. But people are are what we have. And whenever you get them together, there, these challenges exist. So can you drill into a particular example that we might be able to relate to where you saw, without naming names, of course, where you saw a problem or a challenge and how you stepped in and helped smooth that over?
The one that comes to mind immediately is I worked with a group of housemen in a hotel. And the housemen are a group of about 15 employees, all male, and they are in charge of cleaning the public areas. So they vacuum hallways, they clean the restaurant and the bar, handle the lobby, that sort of thing. And in this particular hotel, this was a very diverse group, a lot of different ages, races, most of them having been at the hotel for many years. They were a difficult group because there was infighting amongst them. There was fighting. They fought with management on a continual basis for a variety of reasons, which I'll tell you in a minute. And so there was no, and they were seen by others in the hotel as a very unhappy group, a lazy group, just maligned in every possible way. And when I worked with them, it was very challenging. However, it was very rewarding because what I found immediately was that, let's take the idea that they were lazy. They said right away, well, our managers sit around and talk about us and they say we're lazy. So what happens with that is it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Your superiors, people you're supposed to look up to, are calling you lazy. You don't really know how to fix that. That's angering and makes you angry and frustrated. So you are lazy then. And we talked about that. We talked about the particulars of the job. There were specifics. So, for example, we don't have materials. We don't have the garbage bags we're supposed to have. The vacuum cleaner never works. These types of things. So what do you do about that? That's an issue that is in every organization everywhere, on every level. I don't have, if it's not garbage bags, maybe it's paper clips or whiteout or something more important, access to the computer or whatever. And the idea there is to work on, okay, so what can you possibly do about that? You know, how are you going to get the materials you need? And almost more important, if at the end of the day you don't have those materials, how do you move forward with your job? What do you do? And that involves people skills, whether it's speaking to the manager, which manager, which chain of command. How do you do that? How do you then let it go and not become frustrated and not get labeled as lazy because you haven't done the job because the fact is you don't have your materials? So these are the types of things. We had a lot of conflict, a lot of screaming, and a lot of group dynamics that were very messy. That's the other thing I want to point out, that this work is messy. It is, you don't get to the harmony without going through the mess. So when all that stuff comes out, people get very upset with each other, and you got to work through that. So with these guys, we worked through a number of things, and they came out on the other end much really elevated attitude, I guess is the best way to say it. They felt stronger, they felt empowered, and they exuded that. I heard from other employees in the hotel, oh, what'd you do with those housemen? They're nicer, they're more pleasant, they're saying hello. There's something that came from the work that exuded to their just ability to be a little bit happier in the workplace.
It sounds like a great blend of coaching and training and facilitating and maybe a little bit of therapy involved in there somewhere. Am I getting a good read on what you're doing?
Yes, that's a beautiful read on it. Absolutely. It combines all of those elements. And I think the very important piece that I bring to it is I was one of them. I spent 20 plus years as a bartender and a server in a hotel, and I also worked in freestanding restaurants. So I come from that background. I know what they're talking about, and that helps enormously because then I have a little bit of a foothold right away because they know that I get the deal. I know essentially where they're coming from. Now, with Houseman or a different, I wasn't a housekeeper. So then they give me the specifics. I welcome them to say, oh, okay, I don't understand. How does that work? How does that work when you have to get the toweling or you have to move the linens or whatever it is? So the specifics they tell me, but the basic, I got it. I know where they're coming from.
So, and tell me a little bit, I mean, where did the idea come from? A lot of years of your own experience in there. What actually kind of triggered, what was the genesis of this idea?
Great question. I came to New York originally, and I was working as a server and a bartender because I was also an actress. And anybody who knows in New York City, to start out, there aren't enough acting jobs around. So everyone's a server, bartender, whatever they need to do. And at some point, I went back to school, and I got a master's degree in social work. And specifically, I studied group work. So how to work with small groups of people around an issue, whatever that might be. And I came back to work at the hotel. I had been working simultaneously to pay for school. And it occurred to me that why couldn't this group work thing work with the employees? I was one of them. We were very unhappy. We had problems with each other. We had problems with management. They tried everything in the world to get performance quality up, to get us to work harder, to manage things. And it just, nothing was working. And it occurred to me that the problem was not, well, let me put it this way. The question had to be asked in a different way. The question was not, why aren't you doing your job? Let's train you to do proper customer service and effectively bus the table and serve the martini. That wasn't the problem. Everyone knew how to do that. The problem was because we were disgruntled, unhappy with each other, not accessing and helping each other get the job wasn't getting done. So it was about the personal issues. And my idea was, so we need to attack that, not worry about the martini getting served, because the martini will get served properly if I can connect to my bar back and get him to help me with this, that, or the other thing. So I began to bounce this idea off of a couple of managers that I trusted and some other employees I trusted, and it was not fully formed, the idea, but they seemed interested. They thought that it sounded like something that maybe would work. And eventually I got to the human resources director and the food and beverage director, and they were thrilled that I had come up with something, and they were happy to try it. I think came a little bit out of some desperation. They were really quite desperate, but in any case, they were willing to try it, and so I forged ahead. I worked with first the bussers and servers in the restaurant, then I worked with others in the hotel, and then I continued on. And the name, from the Inside Out Project, comes from what I just described as the concept. We're going from the inside, so from the stuff, who you are, who the employees are, what their issues are, what their problems are, as opposed to what to me is the normal sort of training. Someone comes from the outside and tells you what to do. Smile at the guest, learn the guest name, bend, safety training, bend when you're picking something up. Those types of things. So going from the inside to the out is what I do.
I think it's a great what a neat story, and that flash of the insight there. So what are some of the most challenging circumstances you found yourself in? Some of the more vexing communication challenges.
I think one of the basics is the way managers generally work with hourly employees. And here I'm talking in things that I see on a regular basis where I would love to work with. That's why I work with the two groups together often, because managers often are going from the outside. So, oh my goodness, I'm under the gun because, you know, a customer complained about this, that, and the other thing. So the manager is going to swoop in and just either discipline the employee or have a conversation, which in turn becomes a kind of a disciplinary sort of a thing. And that generally goes nowhere. It might work for a minute or two, but it doesn't really address what's happened. That's one thing. I think the other thing that I find challenging overall is when I work with a group, say even the housemen that I described before, they made great progress. We worked every week for several weeks. We brought the managers in. We made a lot of headway. Then the point is, and I always stress this, it needs to be reinforced. So whether that might mean that I would revisit every month or so to check in and check in with the houseman, see what's going on, what's sort of fallen apart, what can we rework, how are things different, and definitely the managers getting involved and the employees taking a part of this to reinforce on their own. So certain things, certain routines, certain rituals can be established. Every day there's a quick check-in. So we know what's going on. If there are any particular issues, we try to address them quickly. If it's something larger, we'll talk about it later. But we know what's on the plate for the day. And other things that I teach and model, but the continued reinforcement is what's necessary to keep this rolling in a positive way. I think we all have a tendency to forget, you know, and get sloppy, and that's when it's important to regroup and reinforce.
Yeah, I think that ability to sustain is just so essential. I mean, otherwise it's just kind of a transactional exchange. You're training somebody for the moment and then moving on. But yeah, you know, love the sustaining abilities you build in. So I do have to ask, and you know, this is a little bit of that challenging question. So it seems like many of the things that you might be addressing are symptoms of a broader, I guess the word is, dysfunction in the culture or the management or the environment of the business. So, I mean, can you talk to that a little bit? Are you really able to get at some of the root causes, or are we mostly skimming the symptoms?
It's a great question. It's a great question, and I see exactly where you're going with it. And yes, yes, to answer your question, yes, we do dig deep. I want it to be clear that I'm not just sort of going in and fixing disgruntled people and kind of managing a little bit of bullying and that sort of thing. It's a huge project to dig deeper and to reframe a culture. I'm sure you must know this from your work, that cultures are the way they are for a variety of reasons, and most cultures have been that way for a long time. So reformatting or changing or improving is a huge task, and I don't mean to say that I'm able to do that fully, but what I do, my belief is a culture is changed for the better in pieces and in partializing, in breaking it up. Yes, a lot of it comes from the top down and from what's modeled from the CEO and the executives, etc. However, the hourly employees and the staff perform a very basic, important function within the company, and their issues, however small they might appear, and they feel they're petty and this one's disgruntled and they're fighting and this and that, that's what they're living with. And to come in and say to them, listen, I see that you're living with a lot of unhappiness here. Let's see what we can do to alleviate that, to fix it a little bit. That helps enormously, and the way it helps is they feel empowered, they feel more confident, they can do their job in a better way, and they exude that attitude throughout the organization. And that is the beginning of changing a culture.
but those are wise words and a great approach. So, Laura, who are your ideal types of customers?
Ideal customers. Any place, any organization that has a lot of hourly employees. So that could be hotels, restaurants, retail, banking, any kind of a store where, and frankly, as I say, I do focus on the hourly employees. However, as I've mentioned, that these types of communication problems are all over the map. And so once I get in, I see the hourly, but it's all connected. You know, no one's in a vacuum. So the management, also the middle management, is often an issue in many companies because they're also, as described, they're stuck in the middle. They're neither the top nor the bottom. And that can be a tough spot to be. Often there's a lot of infighting there. So that's an area to work on, too.
So how would people find you?
People would find me by my website. I'm at www.fromtheinsideoutproject.com.
Okay, fantastic. Laura, this has really been interesting. Congratulations on translating what was a real-world experience, coming up with a great idea. It sounds like you're delivering some incredibly valuable services to your clients, and it was my pleasure to talk with you here today.
Thanks so much, Brad. I really enjoyed it.